Marcus Stroman putting himself back in the news again last night. Just an awful outing. His ERA is up to 6.5. We had Ross Atkins on yesterday, and I tried to get to the idea of opening yourself up as an organization for trades that feature players that don't have expiring contracts. I mean, we all expect Hap to go at any point. Donaldson's it's a wild card. Who knows what's going to happen with him? If Estrada wasn't injured, I think that was going to be probably a trade asset for them. Clippard, you know, guys out of the bullpen. Here's our TSN Jays insider, Steve Phillips. What do you make of this with Stroman, Steve? I mean, his numbers are terrible. We know that he was on the DL for a long time, and no one really knew exactly why he was on the DL. And last night, no control, leaves the game early, gives up six earned. What's your take on Stroman?
Yeah, it's hard to figure right now. I mean, it's been so bad. Now, I really do think arm fatigue was a factor early that led to some bad mechanics compounding the problems. Now, his last time out, before this one, I thought it was a little bit better. He wasn't taking his hands up, and they should be coming down, which was a mechanical flaw that he had going on, which was allowing him to get back out in front on top of his breaking ball and on top of his fastball, but he didn't have it this time around. And so you wonder whether it's still kind of a spring training performance because he missed so much period of time that he's working his way back in. But he wasn't able to make any adjustments at all, and once again looked very mortal for a guy who was effectively a number one, number two type starter last year for the Jays. He was excellent, and so they're not going to give up on him because they've seen the greatness there. And I think that the way scouts look at it is if you've seen it once, it's in there. Now it's up to the coaching staff and the medical staff to get him to repeat it, to get him back on to the right track. So they've got some time to do it. My guess is that, look, there's no sense trading him right now because people on the other side buying would say, well, I'm not sure he's healthy, and I'm not sure what's going on, so I don't want to give you a lot. So what behooves the Jays is get him right, get him productive, let him pitch well, and that will either empower you and to keep him and let him be part of your future, or to trade him. But right now, there's no sense even considering moving him at all.
Steve, it's unusual in baseball to see a player drop off this dramatically, isn't it? I mean, there's a few examples of it, but for the most part, to see a guy plummet like this is pretty unusual, isn't it?
It is, and it makes you think health. I mean, that's always the first thing you think of when a guy's not right this significantly. You think health. You know, how many times do you see a pitcher who's actually pitching in the game, and he's getting knocked around, gives up a home run, and next thing you know, they're going out there to talk to him on the mound. He's coming out of the game with the trainer. Yet something's physically not right, and guys try to pitch through it. And so, the typical explanation for a guy this age, who's really just, entering into what could be the prime of his career, to have kind of taken a reverse course, you almost always think there's something physically going on. And, we know that he had the arm fatigue in spring training. We know they put him on the DL for that, whether that was the phantom DL to get his head right or to get his arm right. I think he was on it for so long that I think it literally was an arm issue. And maybe he's still not quite right. Because for a pitcher, when you have a shoulder issue or an elbow issue, the last thing to come back is that last little bit of proprioception, that ability to manipulate the baseball to throw it within the strike zone where you want it. Your velocity can come back. You can throw a strike. It just might not be where you want it to be in the spot that you want it to be. And certainly he doesn't have that command right now. So something's still not quite back 100%.
With Steve Phillips, and the difference between Stroman struggling and probably any other Jay is his profile with the team, with the fan base, the importance he places on brand. Height doesn't measure heart, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. And he's caused some storms here in Toronto with management. I mean, we know about the tweets after the arbitration case. We saw what he tweeted out after Ryan Goins was let go. That's what separates him from everybody else, is because of who he is and because of some of the stuff that he's been up to as a Blue Jay. And I'd be curious to get your take on that, Steve. I mean, you got to be careful. Yeah. The guy's got immense talent. But I kind of feel like he's the type of guy that if he does struggle, you turn on him quicker or potentially could turn on him quicker.
Yeah, oh, no doubt, right? I mean, listen, we all know you can stir it up a little bit And you can stir it up, the better you are, the more you can stir it up. The more problems you can kind of create, the more you can say the wrong thing, and we're going to be like, all right, well, we'll manage it instead of getting rid of you. You know, I always looked at Ozzie Guillen in Sequoia, and I thought to myself, well, everybody keeps saying, well, it's just Ozzie being Ozzie. And I kept saying, well, as soon as they start to lose, those are going to be the reasons they fire him. And they were. And I think that for Marcus, he has had a significant impact. I was just down in Cary, North Carolina, and I was broadcasting some games for Team USA. They were at 18 and under trials. They had the college players in there. And they all filled out these questionnaires and surveys. The number of players, young players coming out, whose favorite player is Marcus Stroman was shocking to me. Shocking to me. Like, so his presence in social media and his brand has really found a niche. It's found a way into some of the kids. They get him and they like him and they follow him. But, you know, you've got to back it up, right? I mean, it can't just be about persona and brand. At some point, it's got to be about performance if you're going to sustain any level of connection and have the sort of impact that you want in the social media. So, he's been a headache a few times. They've addressed it the way they should address it behind the scenes. But at some point, it's noise from a guy who's not performing, and it's the reason they'll trade him instead of just saying, well, it's Marcus being Marcus.
Steve, the Yankees are coming in tomorrow, and you know all about the home runs, and Aaron Judge has got 24 already. I think have they set the record now for the most home runs before the All-Star break? They're right at it, I think. I mean, it's incredible, but the thing that amazes me is in today's game, Steve, how it's okay to strike out a lot. Do you think the Yankees, with this kind of team where Judge has struck out 114 times this year, Giancarlo Stanton struck out 115 times already, in the postseason, can you win doing that?
Yeah, you can. I mean, the old saying is that good pitching beats good hitting. Now, Jim Leland, longtime major league manager, very successful guy, won a World Series, he always had the belief that if I'm facing an ace, I wanted to have as many guys in the lineup that could hit home runs as I could. Because, if I'm facing an ace, what are the chances that I'm going to string three or four hits together in an inning to be able to put up a crooked number? Why not put up, hope I get a walk and somebody hits one out of the ballpark? You know, and what's happened in baseball today, and the reasons why now we have so many home runs and so many strikeouts, is that teams are saying, okay, what's my best way to score a run in an inning? Is it for me to send three hitters to the plate and all three of them get singles, or to send three hitters to the plate and have three of them try to hit home runs? And the belief is that if I have three guys going to play trying to hit home runs, I've got a better chance of scoring a run in an inning than I would if guys try to hit singles. And so, the game has changed in that way. I don't know when or how it's going to change back until maybe strikeouts are so much or they do something to change rules. But I think that we are where we are. Guys have that launch angle now. And the pitch, it used to be that pitchers would do everything they could to keep the ball down in the zone. Now you're throwing it into the hitter's wheelhouse because they've got launch angle to try to lift everything. The high fastball is where you get the swings and misses because players have that hole on that high fastball when they're trying to lift everything. So the game has changed in that way. Yes, strikeouts are more. You can look at players like the Joe DiMaggio's of the world back in the day that, struck out, 18 times in a season, 16 times in a season. We've got guys striking out 160 times in a season, and they're among the best players in the game. It's just changed. You can make the argument it's changed for the better. You can make the argument it's changed for the worse.
Joe DiMaggio struck out 369 times in his career.
Yeah,
Aaron Judge, in his third major league season, has struck out 364 times.
Yeah,
that's 27 games his first year. And he's only played 82 this year, so that's less than three seasons, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing what has changed in the game. Yeah, I could look at Mike Trout, think he's one of the best hitters to ever play the game, and people could say, "Wow, look at all the strikeouts." It's just a different game today. Pitchers throw differently. And what happened to DiMaggio played, the starter went 7, 8, 9 innings all the time. And so he got to face the same pitcher for 4 and 5 at bats a game. Now, you face the starter twice, and then you've got one guy from the left side throwing 97, then a guy from the right side throwing 98, and a guy throwing 100 coming in to pitch the ninth in your last at bat. And so it has changed a lot. And specialization has taken over a bit, which has led to sort of extremes. But it still is, in my mind, one of the most interesting sports out there.
With Steve Phillips, our baseball insider. So Bautista was in town the past couple of nights, and his numbers have been moving up, man. I mean, his plate discipline has been there. He had a few walks on a couple of nights ago, and this is a guy whose stats, I mean, he's always been known for that. He's a guy who hits for power, not as much anymore, but he always had quality plate discipline, and he kind of lost that his last couple of years in Toronto, but seems to have found it a bit in New York with the Mets. Could you see him being a guy that a contending team looks to acquire?
Well, it's tough to know. I mean, you know, I think he's in the right spot right now. And what's going to end up happening is Jay Bruce is going to come back off the DL, and Jonas Chester is going to come back off the DL, and then his playing time is going to get really compromised. I think the benefit to him is that he didn't play every day this year, that he doesn't play every day for the Mets. You know, he's playing fairly regularly, but they spell him here and there. You know, Don Gibbons didn't have any room to rest him. His first day off last year was July 31st. He played every day until July 31st, and he was underwater, never recovered. And that impacted his plate discipline, his swing, his defense, his running the bases, everything. And so, I think that when he is more rested, he's a better player. But the bizarre thing about him, if you look at his splits, he does not hit left-handed pitching. Like, if you're going to add him to your team, the idea is, let me get some right-handed power, then against maybe a big left-handed starting pitcher, I can put him in the lineup to spell my left-handed hitter. But his splits against left-handed pitching were awful the last couple of years, and they're not any better this year. And so, it's hard to know where he would fit with a team down the stretch. The other thing I'll say, though, is that as a teammate, you know, for all the people who had issues with him, in the Mets clubhouse right now, he is a really well-liked and well-respected guy. The game is better for having a minute. There's no question about that. He still can play. He's not what he used to be, but he can still play, and in the right situation, he could fit a potential playoff team, but it's got to be exactly the right situation.
Thank you, Steve. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, you bet. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Steve Phillips, our MLB insider.